Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com.
And I'm Michael Swain of Fog.net.
This is a replay of WIBW show The Drive.
Here's this week's episode on the 24/7 Sports Podcast Network.
Good evening, Wildcat and Jayhawk fans, and welcome to The Drive, sponsored by Briggs Auto Group. I am Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. The man across the studio for me is Michael Swain of Fog.net. What did we learn this week, Michael? We learned, do not go to Ames, Iowa.
Yeah, I'm looking here to make sure nobody's like looking at what I got going on in front of me here, just to make sure, but I don't see anything so far.
Well, it's weird because I feel like there's cameras on me. It's kind of odd. I don't know. It's like being in Hilton. Anyhow, interact with us on social media at facebook.com/thedriveshow, on Twitter at thedrive13, and of course answer our weekly poll question and make your game predictions on our Twitter page. And remember, if you ever miss an episode of The Drive, you can listen to an audio-only version that will appear each Monday morning in the form of a podcast at gopowercat.com and fog.net. We start things off with our two-minute drill. The first segment of the two-minute drill is sponsored by Vanderbilt's Your Work Boot Center. Well, Michael, KU's road woes continued on Saturday as KU fell to an Iowa State team that made an historic number of three-pointers. How concerned are you about KU's performance?
Fitz, there's part of me that is concerned, right? Broadly, the trends for KU on the road this season have not been very good, right? You look at KU's loss at UCF where they turned the ball over 18 times. So many of those were mental mistakes. You look at KU's loss at West Virginia. The three-point defense KU had was a lot of mental mistakes. And then KU goes on the road to play Iowa State, and Iowa State makes 14 threes, the most they've made since the 2020-2021 season, and it's the most they've made in a game under T.J. Otzelberger. Now, a part of that was just great three-point shooting from some guys that haven't shot threes very well. Trey King, it was a matchup issue for KU. They put Hunter Dickinson on him to have K.J. Adams on Robert Jones, a great rebounder for Iowa State. And Trey King lit KU up, and with four threes, more than he had made all season heading into this game. Now, that part of it is more variance, Fitz. Like, you can't really get too concerned about that. The parts where I'm concerned are just the execution of KU's defensive scheme. You go to the end of the first half, and Omarco Jackson doesn't switch a screen. It leads to an Iowa State player being wide open who shoots 40% from three this season, and he makes it. You go later in the game, and it's a very similar result with Johnny Furphy not switching, getting stuck on a screen, results in that same exact player being wide open, and he makes a three. And then you go to the final play that really cemented the game, where Keshawn Gilbert looks like he's going to drive by Johnny Furphy, who had been driven by several times in the game, and then he pulls up, shoots a three. So I think for me, Fitz, like the mental ability for KU to stay locked in is very worrisome. Now, if you want to spin this into a positive, I mean, KU scored over 70 points against one of the best defensive teams in the country in their own building. They turned the ball over on just 17% of their possessions in this game. For reference, Iowa State forced the opposition into 26% turnover rate in every game this season. So KU generally, right, it was not good in terms of their mental ability to execute the scheme that Bill Self had. But the offense did show some signs of progress. That's a positive. But look, Fitz, KU's got to figure it out on the road because there are some really tough games coming up here.
Yeah, Man, they've got it going in Hilton. There's no doubt about it. I've never seen this. And Iowa State's always better at home. Mm. This team's better. I mean, they're really good at home.
Totally. And if it's that atmosphere in Ames, it has gotten so much better, I think, post-COVID and the way everything's gone. Like, it's an even more tough place to play than it was before.
They are passionate fans. I mean, 14K is the common. I mean, they just fill that place up and turn up the volume and eat walking tacos while they're doing it. It's an amazing thing. I don't know how they do it all. It's incredible.
All right, Fitz, let's transition here. Kansas State dropped road games at Iowa State and at Houston this week. So is there any big picture reason for concern for the Wildcats?
Yeah, there are. I mean, this K-State team has two real weaknesses right now. Well, three. The first one is they're turning the ball over way too often. They've now turned it over either 18 or 17 times, five games in a row. That's a level of consistency coaches want, but not in this particular stat. I mean, that is just kind of dead on. And in fact, when they put the young guys in against Houston on Saturday, they seem to clean up the turnovers, so go figure that one out. Now, this K-State team also doesn't shoot it consistently enough from three-point range. And when they do, they rally, and they often come back. That's been part of their MO all season. And also, they're not very good on the offensive or closing out offensive possessions by stopping offensive rebounds. Well, look, that game at Iowa State was competitive. It was heated. It was entertaining. It was an old Big Eight brawl. And K-State got down early and came back and almost won. In fact, they probably should have won, and then the fouls just mounted up in the second half. But going to Houston, one of the better teams in the country, who, particularly on their home floor, likes to get you to turn the ball over and loves their second chance points. This was a formula for a disaster for these Kansas State Wildcats unless they could break their trends, and they couldn't. Houston scored the first 11 points in this game, and as Coach Jerome Tang said after the game, look, we knew we could come back at Iowa State, but this Houston team at home is just too good. We knew we were in big trouble at that point. And K-State scrapped and tried to come back, and eventually they just cleared the bench and let the young guys play, and they played pretty well because it's become pretty clear that the frontline guys need a little more help, particularly in taking care of the ball. They've got a group of off guards trying to play a point guard position, and they're really good at passing it to the wrong team or dribbling it out of bounds or the things that you just can't do if you want to compete at the highest levels. This is Kansas State's Achilles heel. It's been fully exposed now for about 3 weeks. We'll see if they can fix it. But, Michael, I don't know how they will. They just don't have a true point guard other than true freshman Day-Day Ames.
And Fitz, that's tough, right? 18 turnovers. That is so many. And I think Bill Self has talked about this a lot with KU, right? Those end up in points for the other team, and you're losing a possession, and they're getting points. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something K-State's got to fix. There'd be a much more consistent team, I think, through the next part of Big 12 play.
Yeah, this is a brutal stretch for them, and they're 0-2 in it. The chaos continues in the Big 12, where teams such as BYU and Oklahoma are ranked, but just 3-4 in the conference. The Big 12's two top 10 teams are not immune either. Houston has two Big 12 losses, and Kansas has three. Michael, is this sustainable for this conference?
I think yes, in terms of entertainment value. I think this is a great product to watch every single night that there's a Big 12 game going on. But I think the broader concern here is going to be when it comes time for the NCAA tournament, Fitz, because I think there's going to be a time when the committee's going to look at the records, and those records are going to have a lot of losses.
Yep.
And I think at face value, the committee can talk all they want, right, about, oh, we use these analytics and we use these advanced metrics and strength of schedule and yada yada and this and that. Well, at the end of the day, they're going to look at the record too. And the issue I think that's going to come up for the Big 12 is there are going to be a lot of teams that are maybe 500 in Big 12 play. Well, that's 8 or 9 losses. And that's a fair amount if you factor in 2 non-conference losses. And so I think there's a real world in which this does hurt the Big 12 in the long run. Now, in my opinion, should it? No. But I think as we've seen, the selection committee isn't always the most consistent. And that's my big worry here is just for the Big 12 going to the NCAA tournament. And look, are these teams even going to be able to put together a run? Because these teams are going to be beaten down by the end of Big 12 play. You've already seen KU look a little bit gassed with how much they're playing their starters. Like, there are other teams that as this conference season goes on are going to run out of steam. So I'll be fascinated to see how this all plays out in postseason play.
Yeah, I agree with you on all that. And I want to add this too. There's such great coaches in this conference that they're putting everything on film to expose you. They figured it out, and as you go through this 18-game circuit, a little more gets chipped away and a little more gets chipped away, and they pretty much expose every flaw and weakness. These plays work, these don't. And if you're a good team with scouting, if your coaching staff can really break down film and look what's been effective and ineffective throughout conference play, you've got an advantage now. It's all out there. This conference isn't just good because the teams are good. The coaches, the coaching staffs are exceptional. And again, this is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I say this about SEC football all the time, and it's true for Big 12 basketball. Look, you're so good, you can't win all the games. So that's because you're good. And if you're really good, then you're exceptionally good. There's no going wrong here. If you lose, it's because the conference is amazing. If you win, it's because the conference is amazing and you're part of the amazing. It's just it's a mess, but we'll see who's surviving of this big contest at King of the Hill. It's a mess. Now, a quick look at your poll question results. The poll questions are brought to you by Midland Exteriors. Love the home you live in. Call today for a free estimate.
All right, Fitz, last week's question was, who has had the most disappointing start to Big 12 play? Kansas got the most votes, got 39%, then Texas with 34%, Houston 17%, and then TCU with 10%.
I think this was KU fans kind of being hard on themselves. They're kind of disappointed what's going on. Here's this week's question. Who will win the Big 12? Let's flip that script and say, who's going to be on the top of that hill when it's all said and done? A, Texas Tech. B, Houston. C, Kansas. D, Iowa State. Sorry, we only got four slots. Live with it. Vote at our Twitter page, The Drive 13.
All right, that will do it for this half of the 2-minute drill, but we'll be right back with more on KU and K-State here on The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
We're back, and we're required by the law to continue our weekly 2-minute drill. It's the rules. This segment of the 2-minute drill, sponsored by Copeland Insurance Agency, part of your community for more than 60 years. Bill Self didn't substitute in the second half for about 14 minutes. What does this say about KU's bench right now?
Fitz, we could talk for a while about KU's bench. This has been a hot topic this season, and I think it says there's not a lot of trust there, and there's not a lot of trust from the head coach. And if you watch the actual play on the floor, like, there's not a lot of trust from KU's kind of core four, if you will, right? DeJuan Harris, Kevin McCullough, KJ Adams, Hunter Dickinson. Like, they do not have a lot of trust in the guys that are coming off the bench right now. And you can see that with some of the plays that happen where guys that are open aren't being passed to, and the veterans are deciding to do it themselves. This has been a big issue this year, and I think it really showed against Iowa State, because Bill Self basically said, I'm going to roll my starting five for as long as physically possible. And that was 14 minutes. And that's 14 minutes of pretty hectic action against an Iowa State team that really does rotate a lot, has waves of players coming at you. And then the first time Bill Self substitutes, Elmarco Jackson comes in, and then he gets beat on a backdoor cut, fouls, and it's an and one. Like, and then all of a sudden Bill Self looks at the bench, like, clearly frustrated with what just happened, and it's an exact reason why he didn't sub. So it's kind of a catch-22 here, Fitz, because at the end of the day, these starters for KU are going to get worn out, right? DeJuan Harris cannot play 38 minutes over the course of Big 12 play and have people expect him to be the player we saw last year or the year before, right? Hunter Dickinson is playing about 38 minutes per game, but then when Parker Brown comes in against a team like Iowa State that does have a physical front line, he's just outmatched. Fitz, he was minus 13 in his limited minutes off the bench. Like, that's tough to deal with. And so the drop-off between KU starters and the bench is pretty drastic. And then the issue, though, is long-term, those starters are not going to be able to be as effective late in the season when you have some of those big-time road games going to Oklahoma. Oh, yeah, going to Houston on the last day of the season. Like, I'm really concerned about this team's ability to kind of last through the next part of the season, because at this point in time, so many of those bench guys just look unplayable. But then on the other end, you need to play them. because those starters can't play 40 minutes per game in this conference against these teams. So it's kind of a tough situation here where I think KU really is missing kind of a veteran guy that was supposed to be Nick Timberlake, but it's just not working for him.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I've seen this script before, and I have a feeling by the time the tournament rolls around, we're going to see one or two guys come off that bench and look like they've never looked before this season. That's just Bill Self. Just he's not giving up on him. He'll just continue to work with him until he gets what he needs.
Exactly. There have been signs of progress, but I think Saturday was not a great one. So let's get to K-State women's basketball, which is up to number 4 in the AP Top 25 and number 2 in the coaches' poll. They've now won 3 games without their top player. So Fitz, I mean, how impressive has this run been for the K-State women?
This is really amazing. They had a tough game with BYU. BYU came in, hasn't been real good in the conference, but they have a real dominant presence in the middle, and they couldn't stop her because without Ioka Lee, that they've gone to the backups, who are very good players, and we've seen the backups have great games, but they're just not the physical presence that Lee brings to the court and really makes it hard on teams on both ends of the floor. Kansas State now, at the halfway mark of the Big 12 season, is 9-0. And while Big 12 women's basketball isn't quite to the elite level of men's basketball, it is certainly a national player. And it does have teams that compete at the highest level, and this year it appears to be it's going to be Kansas State. They're 20-1 on the season, their lone loss being to Iowa on a neutral court. And of course, Iowa with Caitlin Clark has played in the national championship last season. They also beat Iowa. This team really has such nice parts, even when you take Lee off the floor. But of course, when you put Lee back on the floor, it's a whole different topic. This week is huge for the K-State women. They start off on Wednesday by going to Oklahoma, and then they finish on Sunday of next week, which is somehow February. How did that happen, Michael? I don't understand how next Sunday is February. And they will play at Texas, which was Lee's last game, a big home win over the Longhorns. I would fully expect Texas to get their revenge on that game with Lee on the sideline. But I got to say this. Coach Jeff Mitty has compiled a roster that is more about a team than just one player. And he's got such nice parts that can come in. And they're doing different things now without Lee, but they're doing it very well. Yeah, they kind of escaped against BYU over the weekend, but that's what good teams sometimes have to do. Without Ioka Lee, every victory you add is an impressive step along the way of winning the Big 12 and getting into the NCAA tournament as the highest seed possible. And on top of all that, with Serena Sundell and the gang, this is a really fun team to watch. They really get up and down the court. And now we step out of bounds, and our Out of Bounds is brought to you by Dara's Corner Market. We love local, and we are local for you.
Fitz, we couldn't go the show without hitting on this topic. Kansas State lost last Tuesday at Iowa State. During and after the game, Coach Jerome Tang was visibly upset. Go Power Cat. Fitz, you guys later reported that the reason for his anger was the belief that their timeout huddles were being recorded with information being shared with the Iowa State bench. Fitz, walk us through this. What's the latest? What are you hearing?
Well, you know what? Jerome Tang's never addressed this in public. he said he spoke briefly with Kelis Robinette, but after the game, he said, well, I'm going to keep that between Iowa State, TJ Otzenberger, and myself. He asked Otz to go look into this. This is what we think happened. We're pretty sure it happened because, honestly, Iowa State appeared to be lining up for things before K-State even showed what they were going to run. But still, the logistics of this don't make sense to me. If someone's filming from it, now we found out from like 3 or 4 rows back, looking right down in the huddle, they moved their huddle. But still, how does that information get transmitted over to the bench in a timely manner? And this guy must know a lot of basketball if he can look at a dry erase board through a phone and figure out what's going on. Something was going on. Coach Tang was rather adamant about that. But he had never made a public spectacle of it like Iowa State did following their win over Kansas. It was odd. It was overly defensive. When the right answer was, you know, I appreciate Coach Tang bringing this to our attention. We investigated it, and honestly, we didn't find anything. That's the right answer. But instead, Otz goes to the mic and amplifies everything. If I know Jerome Tang, he's going to kind of play it down. He's never said anything public. And the only reason we reported on it, because there was rumors of racial slurs and things being thrown. And people wanted to know, why was Jerome Tang so out of character, that upset during the game? And it turned out to be, they're convinced they were being spied on. And why? Because other teams had told them they suspect that. Did the K-State coaching staff leak this to me? No, they didn't actually. A national reporter called me and said he was privy to a text message, a text chain going around amongst Big 12 assistant coaches, and they all think it's true. I don't know where this is going to go, but I just find it interesting. And I thought Iowa State's response was way over the top, way too defensive, and they made it impossible to move on, which you would think they would want to do.
It's just crazy, Fitz, because here's the thing, too. It's basketball, right? It's not like football where stealing signs and stealing plays like directly can impact some huge moments in the game. We're talking about a few possessions, but it was in a close game, too.
Yep.
I'm fascinated to see where this goes, if it's factual, if it's not. But I think you're right. It was very interesting that T.J. Altzelberger opened it, his post-game press conference after the win over Kansas, by addressing this. Very interesting.
I didn't quite understand that, but let's just put it this. One of the curious things about this game was K-State did trail by 11 or 12 at halftime and then quickly made up that gap, almost like something changed at halftime. It was interesting to me. Now let's hear from the fans, and our fan question is sponsored by MetLark. Retirement awaits in Manhattan, where you can live your way every day. Our fan question this week is, when should we get worried about the Kansas Jayhawks? Thank you, Elizabeth in Topeka.
I'm already nervous. I'm already worried and nervous. Fitz, I think some of the stuff we talked about today, right? Lack of bench helping out the starters, the lack of intensity, I think, and the mentality on the road has been a little concerning. So, overall, you know, KU's got a lot of work in front of them to win the conference or at least get a share of it.
Yep. Remember to ask your questions on our Facebook page and on Twitter at The Drive 13, as is still Michael's read. When we return, we look at our predictions here on The Drive.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
It's time to head down the home stretch of this week's show, and now let's look at our predictions. Predictions are brought to you by Kites, meeting your friends at Kites since 1954. Remember to make your weekly predictions on our Twitter page at The Drive 13. Here are last week's results. The fans win the Michael Swain Memorial Award because Michael's kind of buried, but he did go 1-2. I went 2-1. This is the smartest I've ever looked in my life, and I thank everyone involved. Let's start with this week's picks. We just set Houston at Kansas as a pick'em because we don't know. I'm going to go with Houston just because I just saw them, and they're the prettiest thing I've ever seen on a basketball court.
I'll take KU, right? Home game, Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick against KU there. Yeah. But next up, let's go to K-State at Oklahoma State. We've got this one as a pick'em as well. I think Oklahoma State is not very good. I think K-State will be able to win this game. Who do you have, Fitz?
I'm going to go with K-State too, but boy, they struggled with Oklahoma State at home not too long ago. Here's our last game of the week. It is Iowa State at Baylor. Baylor, 3.5-point favorite. I'm picking all road teams, Michael. I got the clones.
So you're pulling a me. I'll take Baylor then. I'll go the opposite of me.
It's worked so well for you. Again, make your predictions on our Twitter page at The Drive 13. It's time for On the Clock. On the Clock, sponsored by Carpet One. Buy local for a strong local community. Michael, take it away.
Fitz, the Big 12 football schedule comes out this week. We already know who the teams are playing, but we'll figure out the timing of when these games happen. I think that's really important, especially in this new conference. We've seen bye weeks be really crucial for KU the last 2 years. Both times, it's resulted in bowl eligibility for the Jayhawks. We'll have to see where the bye game lies this year and how these games fall, because I think the schedule for KU is light, but the game and the timing is going to be important.
I didn't even know that was a topic to talk about. I'm going to talk about it now. This will be really interesting for Kansas State because they're playing 10 Big 12 teams with Arizona being on the non-conference, and they go to Tulane. So how the schedule stacks up could be really fascinating for Kansas State in a rare six-game home schedule. We'll see what happens for the Cats. And that's it for this week's edition of The Drive. We'll see you right here all week, or next week, and all week on social media. We'll be somewhere. Just see us.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.